Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. All glory and praise belong unto thee. And we have gathered together in this thy house of prayer to open thy word and to worship thee. And we pray that our hearts and minds would be inclined unto thee, and our eyes would be lifted up in faith. As we look into thy word, we pray that thy spirit would speak unto us to give us the guidance, the wisdom, and correction that we have need, that we can be as sheep in thy fold, guided by one true shepherd, going towards one goal, to honor and glorify thee now and in eternity. We pray that thou would bless this evening of worship and meditation as we dedicate it unto thee. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's help, I desire that we would turn together to the second letter of Apostle Paul to the Corinthians and read chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered not much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward, of his own accord he went unto you. And we have sent with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us, with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with him our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. Wherefore, show ye to them and before the churches the proof of your love and of our boasting on your behalf. The Lord's help, I've read the entire chapter. May the Lord bless the reading of the word, and may we all bow before the Lord in prayer.
We are thankful, kind Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to be in thy house in this evening hour. It is with joy, Lord, that we have assembled ourselves, knowing that thy word is before us, the word of life, the word that gives us direction, is a light unto our feet. Lord, we come before thee with thanksgiving and joy, Lord, in our hearts, and even a peace, knowing that we are gathered here and we are confident that thy word will go forth in power and in truth. And we know that thy spirit is faithful and has spoken to us in times past and will yet speak to us again in this evening hour. And so we just come before thee with a heart of gratitude, thanking thee in advance for the blessing, Lord, that we will receive. Father, we glorify thy name. We glorify thee for all thy works and all the things that thou dost do. Lord, we look at thy handiwork and the stars and all that thy hands have made, seen and unseen, and we marvel. Lord, there is no language where thy creation is not boldly spoken, Father, and so we just simply glorify thee for who thou art and all the things, Lord, that thou dost do so faithfully, Father, time after time. And so, Father, in this evening hour, as we would assemble ourselves in this sanctuary, we pray thee that it would be with reverence and with a godly fear, Lord, knowing that thou art he who is omnipotent, and there is no God like unto thee. And so it is before thee that we bend the knee and that we pray to, O God. And so we just pray thee that the manner and the environment, Father, would be one of godliness and reverence toward thee. Father, we would pray for our brother that as he would speak forth a message, Lord, this evening hour, as thou hast laid it upon his heart, Father, that we would be attuned to what thy spirit would speak to us, that it would be meaningful, Lord, to our spiritual lives, that we would ponder upon it, look for ways to implement thy word into our lives in the coming days, weeks, months, whatever thou dost give. Father, we know, Lord, that even as we have read in this chapter, Lord, that unto us has been given an abundance of everything. Lord, we have received that from thee. And so we just pray thee that yet again, Lord, even now, Lord, as thy word goes forth, that though we are even full yet from last Sunday, Father, we know that thou dost have yet more for us. And we just thank thee that we can partake of this thy word so freely and so often. We just pray blessings upon thy spoken word. Father, we would pray for each and every soul that is gathered here and those that could not gather here this evening hour. We just pray, keep us from the evil one. Keep us that our minds would always be focused on thee. Father, we know that we are all tempted. Lord, there is not one of us here that is not tempted. And the devil comes to us and tempts us in his own unique way for our unique desires and our unique way that we are, Father, and he tempts us. Father, and we just pray thee that we, in the power of the Spirit, might tell him to get behind us and have thy word alive within us. Father, help us, Lord, that we would all, one and all, as our days go by, Father, that we would turn to Thee often in prayer and in a thought about Thy word, Father, that we would overcome the temptations that Satan would bring our way. Father, we thank Thee that we have a soul among us who has said no to this world and no to Satan and yes to Thee and has turned her life around and is now awaiting baptism. Father, we just pray for her that Thou wouldst bless her and Thou wouldst keep her and that Thou wouldst teach her as she grows in Thee, Lord, that Thou wouldst make her to be a faithful witness of Thine in her life. And Father, as we would be partakers of this baptism, Father, that we would recall our baptism, Lord, and the grace that has been extended unto us and the love that has been shown unto us, and that we would also remember a commitment that we have made to serve Thee, Lord, all our days by Thy grace. And so we just pray, Lord, committing all things unto Thee, Lord, abide Thou with us, bless us one and all as we look to Thee, knowing that Thy Spirit has great measure of blessings awaiting us, Lord, if we yield ourselves unto Thee. This we do pray, asking it in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
It is our trust and faith as we assemble together around the Word of God and in prayer for God's leading and guidance, wisdom to be imparted to each heart, that the Lord would be with us and would help us to praise the name of Jesus Christ, and that God's children would be built up in the faith and the love for our Lord. For those of you of our friends would hear the word of truth and of salvation, the riches in Christ Jesus, and seek Him for your soul's salvation. So many ways that the Word applies to our lives. And the Spirit can take the Word that is written here, can convict each and every one of our hearts, myself first. The chapter that we've read, Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthians, whom he is preparing to make a collection for the church in Jerusalem, poorer saints, that they would be ready, and that they would also follow through, because they had made a commitment, they had expressed a willingness to collect and to give, and now Paul is speaking to them to encourage them to follow through. And before he goes into the details of how the work would take place in chapter 9, he starts with their heart and with their mind. He speaks of the importance of a willing mind and a heart of love that is moved by the work of Jesus Christ to do and to follow through. Apparently, Apostle Paul had spoken about the willingness of the Corinthians to others. I believe this was an encouragement to him. The servant of God was encouraged to see believers who were expressing willingness to serve and to give. And it thrilled the heart of Apostle Paul to see the fruit of the teaching and the work of Jesus Christ in the lives of those who embraced that same Lord. And this is no different. Yet he finds a need to exhort them to follow through. There was a great deal of issues and concerns that he had to deal with in that church. Carnality and fakeness. And so he speaks this word, a serious word, of follow through. Of going ahead and doing what they said that they would be willing to do. And in this application, it's for giving. But we can think of the commitments that we've made, the things that we have expressed willingness to do, perhaps the things that the Lord has laid upon our hearts as important in our walk of faith, in the way that we influence others, that we do have a willingness and a desire to contribute in a certain way. And this word that speaks to the heart and to the mind speaks to our souls in our particular application as well. He gives an example of the churches in Macedonia who did not have physical abundance. They didn't have a lot of wealth. But what they did have was a great trial of affliction. They had persecution for their faith. They had abundance of joy and deep poverty. You would say that might be looked at as a disadvantage. But not to God, not to the work of Jesus Christ, because these things abounded unto the riches of their liberality. They were willing, and they gave probably more than Apostle Paul was expecting that they would be willing to do. But it wasn't their power. It was beyond their power. It was beyond what was in them. It was the work of Jesus Christ and his love. We see the examples in the Gospels of Jesus breaking the bread and breaking the fish and dividing, doing supernatural things, and using his disciples to distribute. And as Jesus continues his work in the church, he continues to work in that self-same way. With the simple elements of a humble heart, of faith and willingness to surrender, he does the work, he brings the power, he brings the riches. And so Apostle Paul uses that as an example to these wealthy Corinthians, that they would also not hold back, but also give willingly. But first, they gave their own selves to the Lord. And this is part of the foundation that Apostle Paul is bringing here about following through in the life of faith. We can know all the things that we're supposed to do and be very agreeable to them. But it is very different to be committed to them and then to follow through. And that's only possible when we give all of ourself to the Lord and to his service by the will of God. Is there anything that we hold for our own pleasure or self that is done so by the will of God? Anything that we hold back in terms of things that he has asked? I don't believe so. But let the Word of God and let the Spirit of God search our hearts to see what is God asking of us to give, to yield, and to be willing to do, to be willing to surrender. And take that direction and guidance as from the Lord and allow him to finish it in us. This is an example of Christ teaching to his disciples that anyone who would want to be his disciple would lay down his life for the Lord, pick up his cross, follow him, giving our own selves to the Lord, as it says here. It's really nice here to see in verse 7, it says that Paul is speaking to the Corinthians and saying that they abounded in everything. In faith and utterance, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, they abounded in everything. And as we kept our Bibles open this week and remembered the word that we heard this past Lord's Day, we read in the morning on Sunday in 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given us, God has given his children all things that pertain to life and godliness. Paul is saying that they abound in faith and in utterance, in knowledge and in diligence. They're thoroughly equipped. And how has that come to pass? It's a gift of God. By God's divine power, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness so that we would have need of nothing. And how does that come by? It comes through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. It comes by the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the one who calls us by name, the one who has died for us, the one who, here it says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He has demonstrated to us perfect love, perfect surrender, and showed us that he was a victor through it. The natural response to giving something up or surrendering is sometimes fear of what we might miss out on. But we see in Jesus Christ a contradiction to that first impulse. We see that though he was rich, yet for the sakes of others, for the sake of us, he became poor, that we, through his poverty, might be rich. He even gave the cloak from off his back when he went to the cross for you. And do you know the riches of the love that he has, and the care, forgiveness that has come through him becoming poor for us, through him becoming despised for us, to him who became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him? We might not be able to claim physical wealth. There's no promise of that in the scripture. But there is a promise to the children of God of an inheritance that is incorruptible, reserved in heaven for you. There's a promise of a crown that is waiting for all those that love him. And, as we've already read, all that we have need for this life in godliness is richly provided by God's grace. Those are true riches. There might be mountains of gold in Fort Knox, but that doesn't compare. There's a psalm that David wrote. I think it's Psalm 49. And it speaks about the limitations of the wealth of this world. I'll read actually several verses from Psalm 49, starting with verse number 6. They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever, that he should still live forever and not see corruption. There's no amount of physical wealth that can be exchanged for eternal life, that you would not see corruption, or that you could live forever, or that you could pay for someone else. It's very precious. And I believe it's Peter who says that our redemption has not come through the corruptible things of gold and silver, but of the precious blood of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible says is precious riches. For he seeth, this is the man that is observing, he seeth that wise men die, likewise the fool and the brutish person perish, and leave their wealth to others. Their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. Though they see with their eyes that everyone is growing older and dying, they have a thought within their head that seems to have been lodged there through deception, that somehow their name is going to last forever. And their dwelling places to all generations, they call their lands after their own names. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He is like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly, yet their posterity approve their sayings. So man goes in this deception that he thinks he will continue forever, and then the next generation picks it up, and they follow, and they approve of those sayings. They say, yeah, we're going to try too, and we're going to do better this time. We've got more technology, we've got better health and whatever advantages over previous generations, we're going to do better. But the man that trusts in himself is a fool. Like sheep, they are laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. But God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave, for he shall receive me. Why should God receive you? What have you or I done? We could bring our best day, great wealth. No, not for our own sakes, as we read on Sunday, but for the Lord's sake, for Jesus' sake. He is willing to receive me, to receive you through faith. Be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul, and men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beasts that perish. But God has given us his word that we could understand, and that he has given us light, and that we do know that God has provided salvation. God has provided eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. These are the true riches, admiring and exalting him for what he has done. That's great motivation to follow through with the things that we have said we are willing to do. Even Apostle Paul said to Timothy, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Have I expressed willingness to feed the poor, or to give a glass of cold water, or to help in any way that I can? God is able to keep that which we have committed unto him. He's the one that will do it through us, willingly surrendering our lives first, and then day by day, making the choices that allow him to work. The advice that Apostle Paul gives comes on the heels of speaking of Jesus Christ in the gospel. And I think that's a beautiful thing. It's not based on a very complex or teaching or some great high thoughts, but on the simplicity of Christ, the greatness of his love, the advice comes. That is the helpful advice, based on the Word of God, based upon what Jesus Christ has done and through his teachings. Apostle Paul brings about an example here. He says, "For I mean not that other men be eased and ye be burdened, but by equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, and their abundance also may be a supply for your want. There may be equality." There is an opportunity for them to give, and he is wanting them to follow through when the opportunity presents itself. He says, "As it is written, he that hath gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack." This is a quote from Exodus chapter 16. It talks about the gathering in of the manna. So while the children of Israel were on their way to Mount Sinai and through the wilderness, God provided them, like the dew that comes in the morning, a bread that they would collect in the morning, and they would have enough for that day. And if they stored up some for the next day, it would spoil, and it said it would smell, it would become rotten. And that's an interesting picture of God's provision for the day, our trust in the Lord day by day to provide for our needs, and also a demonstration of the corruptibleness of physical things. They're temporary. But there was one exception, and that was on Friday. Before the Sabbath, they were instructed not to collect on the Sabbath. And so they were to collect double on Friday. Now, if this was just the physical things that they were gathering, if life was just about the bread, then it would have spoiled the next day, just like every other day. But because life is not just bread and meat and drink, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Because God was at work, he preserved that manna that they had collected because it was done in obedience. When our lives are walking in obedience to God, his commands and the things that are pleasing to our Father, he preserves our life. And everything that he does is good. Everything he would take away, everything he would provide, it's a good thing. We're reminded from Old and New Testaments both of the provision of God. And God truly is the one who provides, even as Paul told the Philippians, "It is God that worketh within you to will and to do of his good pleasure." The willing heart and the willing mind are something of that is appealing. It's drawing to the child of God to have that. And to grow in that, we need to ask the Lord. Ask the Lord for greater sense of willingness, greater understanding of how much we owe, perhaps. Titus had that. God put that in his heart. It says in verse 16, "Thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you." We can't go about this life with just a human willingness and a human ingenuity and action. We must have the Lord to work in our lives and to receive the credit and the praise. He was willing, and also of his own accord, he volunteered. And it says, we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. There's another verse here that says, whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. What a beautiful reputation that's described here. Paul is very generous with his kind words to of the Corinthians and of his fellow servants, but something that really touches our hearts when we see, or of the brethren, if they be inquired of. Does anybody ask about brethren in the church? Who are they? They are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ. We are a light. We are called to be that light to the world. A light that shines because of the life that's within us in Jesus Christ. That men might see the good works and the service and would glorify our Father which is in heaven, because they would know God is real because of the testimony of the glory of Christ that's radiating from these messengers. It is a high calling, and it is something to meditate upon. The glory of Christ being demonstrated through us. A precious, precious treasure that's committed into earthen vessels. May we take it, remembering that the Lord also calls us to follow through. But he is our foundation. He is the strength behind and within and through. All of this comes to pass. May the Lord give us a willing heart and a prayer on our lips to ask God for this evening. Amen.
Those that were in Macedonia didn't have very much, but they gave. Those in Corinth had more. They were a port city. They were of greater means of wealth. And they were richer than those in Macedonia. But then there was Christ. He was very rich. And we read here this evening hour that he became poor for our sakes, that we through his poverty might be made rich. So there was the poor, there were those that were richer, and then there was Christ. All gave. And we are exhorted this evening hour to give as well. I pray that the Spirit would lay that upon our hearts in some measure, in some way. Beautiful verses were referenced to speak of this gift of giving. And the next chapter also goes through and speaks of this same topic also, that we've been given much. And in this verse number 7 that we've read this evening hour, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love toward us, see that ye abound in this grace also. We have been given much. Much has been given unto us. We're full of the bounty of God. And what will we do with it? In the next chapter it says, he that sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Let every man, according to as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God desires that we would give. The Macedonians didn't have much, they gave. The Corinthians had a little more, they gave. God is asking us that we would give likewise. And in a good measure, because God gave unto us a great measure. So I'd like to close with some verses in Timothy where it says, and this could apply to us, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. We have been given much in bounty. That they do good works, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute or give, willing to communicate or share, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Amen.